morning and greet you in Jesus' name this morning. I enjoyed the service so far, and there's a lot of things about the Old Testament laws and the sacrifices and the priests and all that that I really don't understand. I think it's partly because I don't study it like I should, and it's good to have somebody like Astasiano to explain some of that in layman's terms. And so one thing that studying these kind of lessons does do for me is it makes me glad for Jesus and coming to this world and fulfilling all that Old Testament law and all those details and all those things. He's fulfilled all that, and today we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find help and grace to help us in time of need. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and I'd like to read verses 11 to 14. Verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This morning I'd like to look at a big subject, and I've taken that from verse 11. I've just simply titled the message this morning, The Grace of God. The Grace of God. And in the four verses that I read, I think Paul compresses a lot of details about the grace of God and explains to us in a couple of short verses what the grace of God is, what it does, what God wants it to do for us today, and helps us to understand a little bit of that. So Titus was a church leader. I think maybe he's considered a bishop in the church. I'm not exactly sure which church it was, but Paul wrote the book of Titus. It was a letter to Titus. And in that book, in that letter, he encouraged him to take responsibility to teach holy living and sound doctrine. You have that in verse 1 of chapter 2. Yeah, verse 1 of chapter 2. Paul says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And then he goes on and he tells Paul what to tell the old men and the old ladies and the young men and the young ladies. And he explains to them, to Titus, what holy living looks like. And then in verses 14, 11 to 14, he gives us the reason why we are to live holy lives and where we're going to get the power to live that kind of life. That's what he explains to us in these verses. Verse 11, it says, for the grace of God, or because of the grace of God, because you've experienced the grace of God, live this way. We talked about this fact in our Sunday school lesson. Somebody brought it up that when we came to God, we didn't come all cleaned up. We come to God as we are. We sing that song sometimes, just as I am, without one plea. We come to God as we are. And when we accept the provisions, when we accept by faith the provisions of salvation, that's when we get cleaned up. And that's when we are justified. And we have those verses in Romans where it talks about justification by faith. And that's how we're justified, by faith. And Paul is very clear that we don't aspire to live holy lives so that we can experience the grace of God. That's not why we live holy lives, so we get to experience the grace of God. Verse 11 of Titus chapter 2 also tells us that the grace of God that bringeth salvation, it hath appeared to all men. This morning, God's offer of grace. God offers his grace to all men. There is not a person on this earth that is beyond the reach of God's grace. And that's a little hard for us to believe sometimes. There's some people that we know that are far from God. But God's grace can reach that person. And there's not a person this morning that is beyond the reach of that grace. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. God is not willing that anyone should be lost, but he wants everyone to repent and lay hold on the grace that he's made available to them. And the offer of his grace is there, and it's a choice. The choice is ours whether or not we accept it. It's ours to make. We accept his plan of salvation when we admit that we're lost and that we're separated from him, and repent of that and say, I want something different, Lord. And it's then that God can work his work of grace in our lives. God forces his grace on no one. This morning, there's the choice is ours, and it's up to man to accept that choice. He has made his grace available, but he forces it on no one. What's the challenge? You know, I'm talking to a lot of people this morning that have accepted God's grace. And as you think and as you contemplate this point that God offers his grace to all men, what's the challenge for us? And when I was thinking about this, the challenge for me is to remember and recognize that salvation and God's grace is for all men everywhere. And the hardest of criminals, the furthest, the person that's as far away from God as we can think possible, let's just remember that they are a candidate to receive God's grace. And let's be doing what we can this morning to point to Jesus, point them to Jesus Christ, and help them to understand that there is a way back to God. And by our lives, let's be living examples of that grace in our lives. Now, verse 12, talking about God's grace, teaching us, and then he goes on to tell us what God's grace teaches us. God's grace this morning teaches us how to live. And verse 12, it's pretty clear that God's plan for our lives is his plan for our lives is more than just getting us saved. He wants us to go on from that point, and on from the point of being saved to living for him and living holy lives. And God intends for each of us as a Christian. He wants us to grow and mature in our Christian life. And the process of sanctification by his grace, I believe, is something that is lifelong. And as we live here, the better we learn to know God, the more we learn to know about his word, the closer we're drawn to him, and the more we become like him. And that's sanctification. The same grace that saves us initially. Also, teaches us. Verse 12, it says, it teaches us. And not only teaches us, but I believe it also empowers us for holy living and for living lives that please God. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verses 9 and 10, Paul says that because, and I forget the exact words, but he talks about how he's one of the least of the apostles. Because he persecuted the church of God, he says he's one of the least of the apostles. But then he goes on in verse 10, and I can't quote this, and I'm not going to turn to it, but he goes on in verse 10, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's for each of us today as Christians and as born-again Christians, as we live holy lives. Because of the grace of God, we are what we are. And let's remember that and let it be a challenge to us. Now, there's some things here in verse 12. First of all, he comes across in a negative way. He says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. And then he goes on and he talks about the positive side of it. I'd like to just look at this from the negative side for a little bit. And I found it interesting in the NIV, New International Version. It says it like this, teaching us that basically it's talking about God's grace, teaching us that denying ungodliness or God's grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. And that's how the NIV says it. It teaches us to say no. Sometimes there's just some things that we need to say no to because the grace of God teaches us to do that. We all face temptations. There isn't a one of us that doesn't face temptations from time to time and throughout our lives. But it's because of God's grace that we can say no to those temptations and say, I'm not going there. And we resist those temptations. And we're all familiar with the verse in 1 Corinthians 10:13. God always supplies us with what we need to have victory and to live in victory. And there's not a temptation that comes our way that we can't bear and that he doesn't make a way for us to escape and a way for us to say no to that temptation. And we're probably all aware of situations where a person was a slave to an addiction of some kind and maybe they got saved and they were able to have victory over that addiction. And I believe that's the work, God's work of grace in that person's life. And just bringing that a little closer home and maybe a little something we can relate to a little more. You know, I don't know. Probably none of us struggle with these kind of addictions of drugs and alcohol and nicotine and all those things. But there's things that come a little closer home. Sins that we may be faced with, temptations that we may be faced with that are much closer home. Things like bitterness and anxiety or fear. Things like lust. There's temptations that we all face, and there are things that if we're honest, we need to say we do face them. This morning I'd like to tell you that God's grace is available to you as you face those temptations. And God's grace helps you and teaches you when those temptations come your way to say no to those temptations. And we don't need to be slaves to any of these things. When we accept the provisions and apply the grace of God to our lives, we can live in victory. And when we're willing, and it's important that we We recognize these things for what they are. And they're temptations and they're sins that Satan would like to take us down with. And as we, by faith, believe that God has made a way for us to live in victory, why, we can experience victory. The devil wants us, wants to keep us thinking that somehow we're victims. And I have good reasons for bitterness. Or I have the right to indulge in something a little bit sinful because of my situation and because of the way I was raised or the way I was treated. Therefore, I have the right to think this way or indulge in this. It isn't true. The grace of God this morning teaches you and empowers you to say no to those things. Now, looking at it from the positive side, teaching us that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. This is from the positive side. There's some things that God teaches us, that God's grace teaches us to say yes to. And we're empowered and to be able to say, yes, that's the way I'm going. And it may not be our natural tendency, but we can say yes to that because it's the right way. And he says here that we're to live soberly. And when I think of sober living, I guess I don't think of somebody walking around necessarily with a long face and never smiles, but I think this living soberly here has the idea of self-discipline and temperance and specifically, I'd like you to think about the things that you think about. You know, each of us has the capacity to think, and we can allow things into our minds, and we can allow ourselves to roll things around in our minds, or we can say no to those things. And of course, we have verses like Philippians 4:8, where he says, Paul was telling people that he was writing to in that letter, he said, finally, brethren, the things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and good report, why, you think on those kind of things. Say yes to those kind of things. And it's so natural for us to think exactly opposite. And God's grace is available for victory in our personal lives. And I'd like that to be a challenge to each of you, especially in your thought life. And allow the grace of God to help you to think right. He also says here that we're to think we should live righteously. And that word righteously, I believe, has the idea of doing what is right, just doing what's right and just. And especially as it relates to our dealings with others. You know, none of us, we've all faced things in life where we think we've been treated unfairly and maybe falsely accused. And we don't feel like we've been treated very kindly sometimes. Well, God's grace helps us not to respond in kind, but rather to live, to turn the other cheek. And to follow the golden rule and follow Jesus' example. It's righteous living. He also says that we're to live godly in this present world. And this idea of godliness, I think it's the idea of reverence and obedience to God, a God awareness, if you will. How conscious... That's a question I'd like to ask you this morning. How conscious are you of God's presence in your life? Or can you go through a week and hardly think of God? Yeah, you might read your Bible, but other than that, how aware of you are you? How God-conscious are you? God's grace helps us to maintain an awareness of His presence, even in the middle of our busy and our complicated lives and schedules. And He says we're to live this way, soberly, righteously, godly, in this present world. So what's this present world like? It's an evil place. And there's things, the things that the world enjoys, the things that it promotes, many of them are far from what God wants for us. And sometimes I hear, you know, there's people lament the fact that we live in such an evil world, and how are children and our young people ever supposed to grow up and live in victory? And I'd like to just read one verse to you from Romans chapter 5 that I think helps us to understand that. Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, we have this verse. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so, as you see and live in an evil world, just remember that promise, that where sin abounds, and even though this world may be getting worse and worse and worse, remember this, that God's grace is always there to supply you with everything that you need to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Now, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So God's grace not only helps us to live holy lives, not only has it brought salvation to us, but God's grace gives us hope. And we can have hope beyond this life. We don't need to live in hopelessness, because we have something to look forward to. It says here, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming back. We look forward to a resurrection. We look forward to new bodies. We look forward to living in God's presence, in Christ's presence for eternity. And the disappointments and the sufferings and the temptations that you and I face today are so temporary. They're very temporary. There's something much better coming. Jesus is coming back, and that's hope. That gives us something to live for and look forward to. Jesus is coming for His faithful, and we can look forward to resurrected bodies and eternity in His presence. The grace of God. Verse 11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And that includes every one of you that are sitting here this morning. It has appeared to all men. And not one of us is beyond its reach. And I'd like to hold that out to you this morning. If you're not experiencing the grace of God in your life this morning, accept the provision that God has made available to you. Whether it initial salvation, or whether it's the power to live a life that is holy and pleasing to Him. And let's allow His grace to change our lives and prepare us for eternity in His presence. Let's kneel for prayer.